Good morning, Sean Aquiline and Milo the Dog. In the studio with me from the Revelstoke Current is David Rooney, and across from me is David Evans, and we're going to be discussing his project proposals and what's going on right now in our community. David and David, hello.
Hey, good morning, Sean. How are you doing?
Good morning, Sean. How are you doing? Happy to share what information I can and dispel any of the rumors.
Now, you've been here 3 years in Revelstoke. You've already become the center of some controversy with regards to two projects, high-density units in Arrow Heights. And the second, which is more germane to our discussion this morning, is your proposal for the Treetop Hotel. Can you take us through the project from its conception to this point?
So Camosi Road property there, purchased it about 5 or 6 years ago because we saw the opportunity and the uniqueness of that property in its location and its layout. We then started about 2.5 years ago the process of annexing that from the CSRD to the City of Revelstoke. We did that because in the CSRD, for us, it wasn't possible to do any rezoning because there's no access to water. That process started in the previous council under David Raven. Then there was a change in local government. Our application, oddly, was sent all the way back to the new council to get support from the new councils. In some respects, we're fairly lucky. We got support from the previous mayor and council, and then we got full support from this mayor and council. After some 2 years, which is quite a long time for an annexation process, our application was successful on December 23rd of this year. We have been working with city staff, Dean Strachan, Mike Thomas, in order to come up with the comprehensive development plan, which is now public to everybody. The original concept idea of the Treehouse Hotel is still the main part of this project. Right from the outset of the annexation, that was made public that we were looking to come into the city, change the zoning to hotel accommodation use. There was no talk about restricting the area. It was an 18-acre site, and that's what was coming into the city, and that's what we were looking to get rezoned. And the initial project remains as it was at that time. I mean, there's some misquotes out there that this was going to be 20 or 30 units. Distant past, I might have said that phase one would consist of between 25 or 50 pods associated with a lodge. That has been misrepresented to be 25 pods. That's not correct.
There was some discrepancy there. Why don't you explain what happened with that and where we're going with it now?
The annexation process was for annexing into the city and change of use in the zoning to allow hotel accommodation. At that time in the process, there's never any detail given. There's no numbers, anything. It's you just indicate what the change in use is. The City of Revelstoke then do the financial study based on the change in use to see whether they want that bit of land in the city or not. They did the study based on change in use to hotel accommodation. They supported the annexation on the basis of the change in use. The only reference to that was the reference to in phase one was this could consist of between 25 and 50 pods and a lodge.
Why do you think you're running into roadblocks right now?
I'm not sure. I asked myself the same question. I think it's common knowledge that the resort have objected from the get-go. They weren't in support. They've raised objections at the city, the provincial, every single level they can raise objections.
What is it that they're objecting to? The overall project itself?
I think they're objecting to any change in use of that land. They see it as a risk or as a threat to occupancy at Sutton Place, which is one of the specific reasons behind this style of development, is that specifically not competing with the product they have to offer. We're offering something different. We're going to be driving a different line of tourists to our town. Stop the word village.
There is no village.
The notion of a village was first brought up in a letter from Northlands written by Rob Tor back on April 27th. That was dealt with at that point in time by the response by myself and I think by city staff. Let's remember, when Northlands wrote their first letter of objection, my application was not in the public domain. So the basis for that objection was they didn't know what they were objecting to. They were just going to object. My application didn't come out until early, mid-May, I believe.
Yeah.
If you look at my application, it is hotel accommodation use only. That is it. That is the total zoning. If it's going to be a village, as is being spread, you need commercial, you need residential. Neither of those components are in my application. They're not there.
So we clear that completely. There is no village.
There is no village.
You're going to have the Treehouse Hotel there, and then the rest of the property. How is that going to be developed?
There are no plans for the rest of the property at the moment, and that is 100% true. The application, the zoning application, is to cover the whole property. That is just modern, sensible planning practice. You take a parcel of land, and as I say, when this parcel of land was annexed into the city, it was never annexed in on the proviso that we would rezone a part or a smaller section. It was brought in on the basis that it would all be rezoned. Modern planning means that you rezone for the use so that you can plan and design when you have to do your master development agreement for the potential build out on that whole property and what it can be for. Otherwise, you rezone an acre or 2 acres and there is no obligation to plan for the rest of it. So you end up with a very piecemeal, disjointed project over time. Or you don't end up with any other project. To be quite honest, after the experience of this, I wouldn't be applying for another rezoning application. This has been too much.
I've made a couple of jokes and I've called you this generation's Texan. Have you ever run into any of these type of experiences back home in Britain?
No.
In a perfect world, how you would see this pan out, but what are the benefits to it? How, in your mind, does this cog spin?
The benefits are pretty straightforward. This is a complementary change in zoning, completely complementary to the resort zoning. It doesn't have the density that the resort zoning has. It doesn't have the commercial and residential parts that the resort has, so you can't build a village. But the benefit, alternative style accommodation, which is that gives the opportunity to drive an increase in skier visits and summer visits and hopefully shoulder season visits. The idea of trying to do something unique is that we actually are not just reliant on growing traffic because we've got a ski hill, but in the same way that people go and stay at the ice hotel, people will want to come and stay at the treehouse hotel. Looking at the winter business, if you want, yeah, it offers a great alternative option. At the moment, we have had many, many friends, and I'm sure as you have as well, who come here to enjoy what Revelstoke has to offer in the winter and come across quite often the fact that the Sutton Place is fully booked. If you're coming as a destination traveller, you want to stay Slopeside, in the same way that as a destination traveller, if you go to Hawaii or Mexico or any beach destination, you're going to want to choose to stay on the beach 9 times out of 10 rather than in somewhere nice, sure, rather than stay elsewhere. So the benefit is we provide more bed units. There's no cost to the resort to do that. As Graham Rennie stated only Monday, they are not building any more hotel beds. They don't see the demand. We're prepared to take the risk. We see the demand. We see the potential. This does benefit the resort. 100 room combination of lodge and pods generates between 1.8 and 3.6 million in winter lift ticket sales alone.
Wow.
Again, the resort tell you that doesn't buy you a lift. It's not exactly true. Yes, that doesn't allow you to go out and spend $15 million in one go and buy the latest and greatest four-man quad. But what it does allow you to do is it allows you to go and finance that lift. That revenue can more than pay for lift expansions over 5, 10, 15 year period without dipping into capital from the owner of the ski hill by increasing their direct revenue to the ski hill. And we got to remember, when you're talking about lift ticket revenue, ski hills are a fixed cost business. They've already got the cost of everything. They're already paying the interest on the existing hardware. They already press the button every morning and they know what the cost to BC Hydro is going to be. They know what their staffing cost is going to be. If you increase their revenue, you're actually increasing 100% their bottom line because they've already spent the money. And this can be used for ski hill expansion. It offers alternatives, right? At the moment, we have ski hill. We have a Sutton Place Hotel, which is very nice. Everybody wants options. Everybody wants choice. Where else can I go? What can I walk to? What can I do? People want choice. People want options. This could actually enhance the draw of Sutton Place as well. The offering is deemed to be different so that we attract different people.
Have you spoken directly with anyone from RMR about this?
I met with Rob Tor on April 26th. It was the day before they wrote their letter.